The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Going with a team defense that gave up 5 touchdowns last week? Not smart. But using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
To a special Halloween edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Nothing afoot here in the studio. Totally normal Wednesday.
Just a regular day at the office.
My name is Captain Jack Sparrow. This part here to my left is...
Yeah, we got the Star Wars theme on this side. You missed the memo, I guess. I'm Chewbacca, of course.
I know you. Yeah. I need the, like, the...
I got the costume.
You look like a kid after they get out of the bath and they have, like, the hooded towel.
Onesie. Yeah, that's kind of how this feels. I mean, if nothing else, I will be super comfortable. It's very soft.
You are.
I feel nice. I'm a little warm if I pass out.
That's,
you know,
good.
Why.
I like more. I like warm.
Mike is bringing the hot takes today, literally. But
you know, I'm so glad when I walked in today, Daniel said, "Look, it's Rey from Star Wars," because I was over in the makeup room and all the girls were like, "Oh, who are you? Are you a pirate?" And I was like, no, that's Field.
That's me.
They were not aware, but like, come on.
I knew it right away.
Even have a lightsaber, but I'm going to spare you that because it makes noise. And
well,
Stefania,
can you give us a profile shot so we can see the...
Oh, yes. I do have... Let's see. I'll turn this way.
Wonderful makeup team.
Yes.
Look at that. So good.
The triple ponytail like Ray wears. I know.
Ashley over hair. Nora in makeup gets credit for this.
Yeah, and Trisha.
And Trisha for Stefania. So... Mm-hmm. If I can just be selfish for a second. For those of you that have always wondered what it looks like with a beard.
Feels so happy because he's got facial hair today.
It looks amazing.
Good. Yeah, it looks good.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's going to be a great day here on the podcast. So we're going to have a lot of fun. It's Halloween. Hopefully you guys are out there enjoying Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I've had way too much candy corn by 11 a.m. on the East Coast time. One housekeeping note, and just going to own it. We're having some technological issues here at ESPN, like the whole company. Like, it's not like us at the podcast. It's like the whole company right now. People are not freaking out, but, so we have
close
a little bit less. We're going old school. We're going
notes.
We're like,
I got pencils.
Level, you know?
We have no internet, basically, is what's happening. So.
Right. It's just okay. So we'll still have a great show. We got tons to get to because of the trade deadline. But before we start the news, Daniel, I should say Field.
Oh, yeah. I am Field Yates for Halloween.
You buried the lead.
I didn't bury it.
Can you stand up and show
yet?
The whole, like, show your costume?
I mean, I feel like, you know.
Those are great.
I mean, look, right down to the arm sleeves and everything.
Would you wear that, Field?
I have shoes with laces in them and a button-up shirt. I couldn't be more you.
I know. I didn't know Daniel. First, I was like, wait, Daniel's not wearing a t-shirt, B, jeans, C, he always wears this little keychain that he always has all of his stuff on.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, some sort of trendy shoes. You look just like me.
Except the beard and the tattoos were the giveaway for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not, come on. All right.
I mean, really, you should commit to the costume.
You should have shaved off the beard. Exactly.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
You know, it's interesting. I think Kyle went as Keith and Keith went as Kyle. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That's so good.
How'd you know?
Thanks.
We're pretty similar as it is, but yeah, no, we did a good job.
Don't you think? Yeah.
There's like some sort of like illegitimate nephew story or something.
Thirsty
like that.
Keith, not cool Kyle today.
Keith and Kyle. I don't know that for a fact or not. We have a ton to get to today. Yesterday was trade deadline, the NFL. And for many years, NFL trade deadline was kind of lame, right? It was like it came and went without much more than a whisper. But it's become a real thing over the past couple of years when the NFL moved the deadline back by 2 weeks to the final Tuesday of October each year.
I think they watched the NBA and they were like, we need a little of that action. We need to make the trades a little more exciting.
Just wait until it gets pushed back another couple of weeks in the next couple of years.
I'd love to see
that.
It's not like there is a lot of the amendments of NFL rules is you have to have the players and the owners agree on it. Well, it's not like moving it back is some sort of detriment to one side or the other.
Right.
It's good for all involved. So let's get right to it. We're not ranking these trades in terms of which one was most important. We're just going to go right through them. Golden Tate traded to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for a 2019 third-round pick. So there's two sides of this. Obviously, the Eagles side with Golden Tate and the Lions side with the leftover pieces. Mike, I'll begin with you. You are a resident Eagles enthusiast. Golden Tate, how does he fit into this offense? And because safe to say, his stock goes down. Others in Philadelphia also probably have some downward stock.
Yeah, no question about it. And we'll start with Tate here because my initial instinct was, wow, you know, I wanted a,
sizable receiver, right?
I wanted, yeah, a perimeter downfield speed receiver like Mike Wallace who they brought in, like Torrey Smith they had last week. And, but, I mean, they got a better player overall.
Sure.
Here's the thing. You kind of look at Nelson Aguilar, right? They move him inside to the slot last year. He had a career year. He's much better inside. Well, Golden Tate has primarily been a slot receiver as well, so you're wondering how do these pegs fit into the offense. But remember, until before last season, Golden Tate had played outside a lot in Seattle and Detroit even. So I think maybe he'll be on the outside now. That'll mean a lower target share. Most likely he was seeing 27% in Detroit this season, which was a career high for him. That'll come down, but maybe a chance for more touchdowns, which is an area he hasn't delivered. Maybe more downfield shots, which is an area where he's delivered. And actually, in his career, he has 12 touchdowns in the slot, 24 on the perimeter, despite fewer work outside. So I think there's, for him specifically, I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be more of a back-end wide receiver, too. Maybe a slight downtick in value, but very little.
For Golden Tate overall?
For Golden Tate, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, a couple of things here. And I don't know how much this factors into your evaluation of his value, Mike, because he now goes on a bye week. Whereas he had already passed his bye week in Detroit. So he's going to play 15 games, but it's less about the 15 games in total. It's more about the fact that for the remaining, 6 weeks of the fantasy regular season? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 5 weeks. He's only played 4 games.
Yeah.
So that certainly impacts his value a little bit as well. But there are other pass catchers here too, like Alshon Jeffrey. People ask, what does it mean for him? My sense is not very much, but Nelson Aguilar could mean a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, for Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz, I put them in a similar bucket, right? So Alshon's at a 23% target share this year, was at 21% last year, was still a very good fantasy receiver because he scores a lot of touchdowns. We know that, and it's a high-scoring offense. So I think it bring his targets down, maybe one and a half a game, he's still going to be a good asset. I think, like Tate, he's still a back-end wide receiver, too. As for Zach Ertz, again, he was seeing a massive target share this season, 28%. Again, he can drop into that 22-23% bucket where he was last year, still be a top-end fantasy tight end. He was number 3 last year, so I think he's still okay, though. Again, his ceiling might come down a little bit. And then you mentioned Aguilar. He was at 20% this year, near where he was last season. He's the biggest, you don't want to say, not loser, but biggest.
The opposite of a benefactor.
The obvious of a benefactor of, the trade deadline, the largest for sure. He's going to plummet down. He's not a fantasy starter by any means anymore. Probably going to be, again, in that 12 to 14% target range. So more of a bench player now. Cannot start him.
Stefania, I know that a couple of weeks ago, by very good fortune, you ended up with Marvin Jones on the waiver wire.
I did.
You got him feeling very, very good this morning.
It was, and I think, it was in our war room league. Trey Wingo
was 16 teamer.
I think Trey Wingo was frustrated.
He needed a player on Monday Night Football, and somebody that was supposed to start was inactive. And Wingo had Marvin Jones on his bench during the Lions bye, so it was the only player eligible to be dropped.
And sometimes you make those moves thinking I can sneak back in and pick him up. Not when my desperate team was looking for somebody to pick up. And so, of course, the first week, I really got nothing out of him. I think it was like 4.5 points. But this week paid off in spades. I think it was either high 20s or 30-something, whatever it was. And obviously now with the setup being the way that it is, my concern was always, is there enough to go around? And, the Rams offense, we've talked about 3 viable wide receivers that you could start that that they were always going to be able to produce. And in the Lions offense, it didn't feel like that was the case. Felt like somebody was going to get short shrift every week. And now I feel much better about what Marvin Jones can do.
26.6% target share up to this point for Golden Tate in Detroit, Mike. Somebody is going to benefit in a major way. My question is this. We've all just assumed that, Kenny Galladay has been a perimeter receiver and Marvin Jones has been a perimeter receiver. Hey, they're going to stay in the perimeter and somebody else will slide into the slot. You think it's at all possible that Kenny Galladay slides into the slot?
I think he'll mostly be outside. I think he and Jones will be outside. And the reason for that is, there's a few, but first of all, they have 2 guys on the depth chart. The next 2 guys up are both slot guys. So you have Brandon Powell, who apparently Golden Tate loves, and he he's kind of brought him along. He was an undrafted free agent, and they're talking him up. So he's probably going to get some run inside. Deep dynasty stash. Brandon Powell, keep him in mind this week. Okay. And TJ Jones, of course, we've seen that before from him inside. So I think they could soak up 12, 15% of the targets. Some will go to Marvin Jones, career high 21% target share. He's at 18 this year. That'll go up. Kenny Golladay maybe an extra, you know, certainly up from where he's been the past 2 weeks. If you held tight there, obviously you love that. And by the way, just really quick, Kerryon Johnson probably picks up a few too, even when Theo
runs. Speaking of Kerryon Johnson, I mean, do we think that the run game, that they're making a statement about being more committed to the run game?
I think they've wanted to do that
all
season.
They've hinted at that, but they haven't really gotten there.
That to an extent. I mean, for some teams, it stands out. Like if you think about Seattle, right? They're making a very strong effort to run the ball as much as possible.
Right. Right.
But for most teams, it's very game script dependent, right?
Right.
I mean, they want to run the ball, but they're not like going to just run it every time like Seattle is. And if they're behind, they're going to throw. If they're ahead, they're going to run the ball.
It's taken them a while to sort of get with the Kerryon Johnson thing anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if him getting a little more involved in the passing game just means there's a little more focus.
Field has a question.
I do have a question. I just want to say, as a friend of a Lions fan,
right.
I do wonder if they roll Theo Riddick out in two running back sets and then just have him run out into the slot. Maybe, you know, not all of the time, but like how often is both Theo Riddick and Kerryon Johnson going to be on the field now when Theo is healthy with how good he is as a pass catcher?
I thought about that. Mm-hmm. So what was it? Was it 3 years ago where Theo Riddick picked up like 80 catches.
And
he actually was running from the slot with some level of regularity? Thought about that, you know, but there are times where we hear of teams that get injured with one player and it's like, oh yeah, the running, like, you know, the Patriots always like, mm-hmm. Rex Burkhead will be their slot receiver.
Yep.
No, that wasn't the case though, right? So.
Yeah, I mean to cut you off. I was just going to say like.
Wait, you're sitting in that chair, right?
I'm just getting a little triggered here. You're right. you hear that all the time and it doesn't happen. It's just like they have two good tight ends and a bad third receiver. So. They're going to use two tight end sets when throwing. No, teams, offensive coordinators, play callers, they prefer an inferior third receiver over a second tight end when they're throwing the football. That's all we care about is when they're throwing the football. 7%. That's how many times teams have had two running backs on the field when passing this season. It just doesn't happen. In fact, 15% is the highest total in the league this year. It's just not a thing that happens.
Wow, Field, you triggered.
I was just
Chewbacca
saying,
over here.
As a friend of a Lions fan,
it's such a weak narrative.
It would make sense. I'm not saying they roll him out there as the slot receiver, but can you imagine three or four plays a game where they have two running back sets and he rolls out to, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I could see that, of course.
We probably take for granted how few teams actually are personnel diverse within the course of a game. Like, you should appreciate the teams that actually, you know, the Rams and the Patriots. Well, actually, the Rams aren't. The Rams just kind of keep the same guys out there for most every single play. What they're doing is working just fine. Patriots, the Saints, for example, a couple of teams that come to mind. Is being personnel versatile.
And by the way, if you're wondering why teams do that, just look at Rob Gronkowski's splits between the slot and in line versus him playing on the perimeter at receiver. He's basically a below average wide receiver when he lines up on the outside.
Right.
When he lines up in the slot or in line, he's elite. Like, he's completely dominant. So it's just, you know, it's just part of the game. Coordinators like receivers.
Demaryius Thomas was traded to the Texans. There was no player that we expected to get traded more than yesterday. Demaryius Thomas. I didn't quite say that right, but you know what I was trying to say.
As soon as Will Fuller got with their situation needing an outside receiver, I thought this was a very likely spot for him.
Yeah,
it's like the least surprising trade of the day. Mm-hmm.
So Demaryius Thomas goes to Houston to. I wouldn't say necessarily take over the Will Fuller role, but play a lot of the snaps that Will Fuller was playing. Let's begin on the Houston side again. What it means for Demaryius Thomas, and then what it means for Kiki Cutie, because we know that DeAndre Hopkins is locked in. Like, he's nuke, he's getting a massive target share, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But for Demaryius Thomas, did his value go up yesterday, Mike?
I think maybe a tiny bit, not too much. I mean, he gets a better quarterback situation here in Houston, an offense that's had its issues this year, but just bounced back with a 6-touchdown game. Thomas's usage has dropped off a little bit in Denver this season, 21% target share is down quite a bit. But remember, this guy, the past six seasons has been a top 20, I believe actually a top 16 fantasy receiver. So at times he's delivered. I do worry about overall volume because you have so much being soaked up by DeAndre Hopkins, even more than what Emmanuel Sanders was seeing. But again, this offense has a higher ceiling. They obviously felt he was a valuable piece to bring him in, and he's going to play an every down role. I just wonder if Kiki QT is healthy and the real deal, if he could be similar or even perhaps ahead of Demaryius Thomas in terms of targets. He's been over 20. He's been around 25% of the targets when he's been healthy in that offense. So it's something to keep an eye on. But I think he'll be a fringe wide receiver three. I wouldn't go too much further than that.
For Demaryius.
For Demaryius Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, and QT, we don't know for sure what his health status is, Stefania, though. But you seem to feel like there's a chance he could play this upcoming
Sunday.
Yeah,
I thought there was a chance. I think that there definitely is certainly a lot of focus on him. They don't have the luxury, if you will, of knowing that they had other receiving options and Demaryius Thomas being new. Not that they're going to push him out there if he's not ready to go, but these hamstring injuries are so problematic for these teams, right? Because guys go out and Kiki missed the start of the season because of a hamstring issue. So it's not like this was a brand new one out of the blue. And the worry is you just don't know how, you don't want to push him out and end up with a multiple week loss for him. So they really have to balance it against the rest of the season. But my impression was that it wouldn't be too long. If it's not this week, maybe next.
Yeah, good things are good forecast there for Kiki Cutie. One thing to keep in mind is that it's not just because, like, I don't think that the trade of Demaryius Thomas is necessarily a massive indictment of Kiki Cutie, but it could be that, hey, like, this is our last chance to pad our depth here of wide receiver. And they're thin beyond QT right now. I mean, like, Vincent Smith was potentially the next perimeter man up right now in this
Sammy
offense.
Coates. Yeah.
Sammy Coates, right. Yeah. People forget he's even in the league right now. So a sensible trade by Houston. I think the quarterback upgrade is apparent, going from Case Keenum to Deshaun Watson. That's good. I think touchdowns could be slightly more likely for Demaryius now because it's a better offense overall. What I worry about is that Demaryius Thomas, I don't know what level of a player he is right now because he's had a struggle to this season, right? A couple of touchdowns in the past few weeks, but we know those were at the end of a game. He's averaging 11.2 yards per catch so far this year. But he did have a big role there in Denver, which makes the other side of this trade really interesting.
And first game back. First game for him as a Texan will
That's
be
right.
in Denver,
yes.
you know?
Yeah.
So you
hashtag
wonder.
Revenge game.
Yeah. But I do think it's interesting, right? Because they bring him in and they're like, okay, tell us all the, you know, I feel like that could be a sneaky
thinking?
Play for
Is
him.
Is he
going
to spend more time in offensive meetings this week or defensive meetings this week in
How
Houston?
Are you going to beat us?
Yeah.
Please tell us.
Yeah. But no, more seriously, you know, it would stand to reason that he could play this Sunday. I mean,
yeah.
Three full practices.
Of all the
sense.
Trades, I think he'll be on the field and probably contribute.
Probably play a decent amount.
Yeah. I like him with six teams on a bye.
Yep.
You could do worse than Demaryius Thomas with his new team this week.
Sure. So on the other side of this trade is the Denver Broncos and Courtland Sutton and what that means now for him because...
Is he the biggest ad?
So yeah, so the waiver wire column went out on Monday afternoon and I said in the column, like, hey, we're forecasting a potential Demaryius Thomas trade. Like, this would be my favorite player or one of my favorite players to add. We said this, I believe, yesterday on the podcast too. I mean, Demaryius Thomas was handling like 19.8% of the targets in Denver. There's a lot of footballs to be thrown to the way of somebody, and all of a sudden, Courtland Sutton seems like the presumptive next man up.
Yeah, no question. He's averaging 19.1 yards per reception this season because he's been used down the field so often. Only Deshaun Jackson has a higher yards per reception, so he's been delivering the goods deep downfield. Yes, 46% catch rate, not too good, but again, when you're being thrown the ball deep downfield from Case Keenum, that's going to happen. Now, the target share should go up in this offense, and this guy was a second-round pick. I mean, there's a lot of pedigree here. He's 6'2", has a good size to him. He spent a lot of the offseason working with Anquan Boldin.
Yep.
And he had a great combine in the short area drills. Like that short area speed and quickness was outstanding. So for a guy of that size to deliver like that and be set up now with potentially 19-21% target share in this offense, that's going to have to throw the ball plenty. I mean, there's certainly wide receiver two upside here. This could be one of the second half breakouts, maybe a league winner. I'm getting a little carried away, maybe, but there is that upside, and that's a reason why you should be all over him if he's still on your waiver wire.
Yeah, limiting factor to me could be the quarterback play, sure. Right? Like Case Keenum has just been so uninspiring throughout this season so far, but I love Courtland Sutton as an ad, and it's a good reminder, not to go off target here, off topic, but just – that, like, it's important to know your needs at this time of the year for your roster. We said there's 5 weeks left in the fantasy regular season. So let's say you were somebody that was in a position of strength. You're 6-1 at this point, or 7-1 at this point, 6-2. Like, you may have been wise to add somebody like Courtland Sutton a week too early, or just like snatch a third receiver in an offense that's prolific in case, like, I'm thinking of a Chris Godwin, in case he either overtakes Deshaun Jackson, who was not traded yesterday, or something were to happen to Deshaun Jackson and Mike Evans. Always be thinking about players that have a lot of ability, like Courtland Sutton, because you know it when you see it, 40th overall pick for a reason. One more trade yesterday that I think has some level of fantasy spin here, Stefania, is Ty Montgomery. And you and I, while we were getting makeup this morning, we're talking a lot of makeup this morning.
You were getting more makeup than me, let's
yeah,
be honest.
Yeah, a lot of makeup this morning. We were talking about, like, what a strange few days for Ty Montgomery.
Like, uncomfortably strange. And it was so, you know, a bit of the, like, hey, this is not what I was doing. I wouldn't, like, disobey orders or whatever the language was. And I think this was a pretty clear, this was not a trade where Green Bay is, you know, benefiting widely from this. This is like
a seventh round, a bag of peanuts.
This is them going, bye bye. Like, no, not here. That we're just going to do this and we're going to do it in the way of a trade. So it's going to be nice, neat. We're going to close the door and then we're not going to talk about this anymore. And it gets the conversation out of the locker room too, like just gone. So I mean, we can talk about what it means for the Ravens. The Ravens run game is already a source of frustration for all of us. This doesn't help it in any way.
So on Sunday, we saw Aaron Jones have his most significant role in the game this season, 12 carries, 86 yards, a touchdown, looked really good, looked the part, so to speak. We also saw Ty Montgomery play 6 snaps on offense this past week. So what I think this trade underscores is that there's a very good chance that the Packers' backfield consistently looks going forward like it did in Week 8. And when we were talking about Aaron Jones yesterday, I said, the only hesitation I have on Aaron Jones is just that the team has been so reticent to utilize him more that what if Mike McCarthy changes his course and goes back to Jamal Williams early and Ty Montgomery is still playing, you know, 20 or 22 snaps in a game? What happens then? But we got some clarity here, Mike, yesterday. It's 2 men in that backfield now for Green Bay.
No question. And we talked about it yesterday, but just to recap, I mean, Jones played 32 snaps in this game. The other two backs combined for 19 snaps. And also, he led the backfield in pass routes. That's really important in PPR fantasy. You want to see Aaron Jones out there in passing situations. So that's a great sign. I think he's pushing his way towards the running back 2 conversation. Maybe he's in there now. But by the way, I will say this. Jamal Williams is out there on some waiver wires now.
Not a bad pickup.
Pick him up. I mean, if Aaron Jones gets hurt or he has a setback or he blows a pass coverage and Rodgers gets destroyed, I mean, you're right. You could still see Williams playing 40 snaps a game. So make sure he's rostered. He's kind of a sneaky guy to go after right now with Montgomery out of the picture.
So an RB2 status right now for Aaron Jones based off of this trade yesterday. Free Aaron Jones. The movement worked. Look what happened.
Yeah, I know. You send the sign to college game day.
Now, while we
Mike
have
McCarthy,
this,
you know, is watching and he was like, oh, hey, that's what I need to do.
Anything else you guys need right now, like while we're asking for, because College Game Day is going to, of course, Alabama LSU this weekend. Any like wishes in life that you want to get taken care of via a sign?
I gotta think about that.
Cool Mike Clay.
Yes.
Cool Mike Clay off.
Hashtag Cool Mike Clay. Yeah.
I don't think that's making a sign.
I saw Mike last night at bowling. He was definitely Cool Mike Clay wearing that bowling outfit.
Yeah,
I
oh yeah, you know
how'd
what?
You guys roll him yesterday? Good.
Yeah. We rolled him pretty good. Yeah.
We need a team photo.
Our pants are coming in tomorrow, next week.
Your
so
pants?
Like once. Yeah, the pants.
What'd you wear?
Well, jeans.
No pants.
Oh.
But we have yellow. We have like a yellow sweatsuit that'll go with the purple shirt.
You distracted the other teams.
No big deal.
Now, if anything, we were distracted by the guy that had a perfect game through the 9th frame, who was just killing it yesterday.
That was not anyone from our team. No,
it was not. Rolling the ball under.
He knew what he was doing.
I feel like this is like dodgeball, but in the bowling lanes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like competition.
That's 100%. That's what it was. And we'll have some good content coming out of this. We'll post some stuff on social.
Yes.
All right, moving along to the Bills, who named Nathan Peterman the starter. And I'm not trying to be like cute or cheeky.
Derek Anderson has a concussion.
He's out for this week. The team just a little while ago signed Matt Barkley as their backup quarterback.
Wow.
We'll see how long that stays. But, I mean, desperate times. Don't even call for desperate measures. Desperate times are desperate times.
Are we moving the Bears' defense up to number one?
I think, honestly, that the biggest ripple effect of this?
Bears defense
is the ultimate daily play.
I'm looking at the projections here, and second place Dallas in the projections is 4.3 points ahead of the last place Browns, and the Bears are 3.1 ahead of Dallas. Like, that's the gap from 1 to 2 is
from
almost the same as
projections.
2
as from
to 32.
To
that's how good of a play I think the Bears D is this week.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not exactly
that,
a
this
hot
stat
take.
Is ridiculous. Peterman is averaging one interception for every 4.1 completions for his career.
Ridiculous.
I mean, Matt Barkley might play in this game. I mean, he
that's
might be their best quarterback.
20% chance of a
Terrell
pick.
Terrell Pryor might be their best quarterback. Pryor, who was signed yesterday. You know, so, but let's take this time to, rather than discussing the Bills' offense, Mike and I were talking about this before the podcast. Sean McDermott is a
stud coach. Yes.
Like, and I know he's getting a lot of flack right now, but that dude can coach defense. Like, and I know I have a lot of fun at the Bills' expense, but they've got the right people in place there. They just, people hate to be patient. Be patient, Bills fans, because it's going to pay off. They got
it looks
right
really
coach.
Good if you watch that New England game.
They're getting close.
Barely won that game, and that was not because, again, not because of the Bills' offense, but that defense was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I was hard on the Bills in the offseason. Bills Mafia does not like me, but
objective.
But yeah, I mean, we knew the offense was going to be horrible. That was the issue. But you're right. McDermott looks awesome. He's doing a great job with the defense, getting seemingly pedestrian players to play at a high level, like the safeties, like Matt Milano, Lorenzo Alexander at his age. I mean, he's done a great job. So I think the future is bright with McDermott there.
AJ Green was spotted in a walking boot yesterday at practice defiant, but noteworthy because they're on a bye right now. So this may not be a full on practice as it is for Cincinnati. Do we make anything of this as of yet, or are we just like a week away from really having to be too concerned?
Well, I think you pay attention to it because if you know AJ Green's history, he had a turf toe injury back in 2016 that caused him to miss 6 games, and it definitely bothered him intermittently throughout the year. So you hear about a toe injury, you see that he's in a walking boot. There's some thought that the walking boot was mostly precautionary and that this will be just kind of a take it easy week, as you mentioned, with the bye. But when they start getting into practice next week, it's something we certainly want to keep our eye on. Toe injuries can really be problematic. I had somebody ask me on Twitter, I think it was just this morning, and I apologize to whoever posted it because I can't remember. I'll go back and find it. But said, we used to hear about toe injuries all the time and we don't hear about, like, have they suddenly gotten better? I do think with some of the footwear and some of the inserts, they have made some improvements. They're still out there and they're just as problematic when they happen. If you have a serious turf toe injury, it can cost you multiple weeks. So keep an eye on AJ Green. I don't know that it's serious right now, but it's something we want to monitor.
Tyler Boyd, the next man up. John Ross, if he's healthy, but he's missing some time right now, would be the next man up, perhaps. I mean, I don't even know. Like, Alex Erickson could play some snaps there.
Cody Core, Josh Malone. Yeah. I mean, it's a situation to avoid.
Yeah.
Fourth-round pick out of Tennessee last year.
He's only missed, like, 4 games in his career. He's a guy who will gut through as much as anything.
If we're at the same point with AJ Green next Wednesday or Thursday, then we'll start to really be...
And actually, I'm misspeaking on that because the 2016, I think, was the hamstring injury year. And that's when he missed the 6 games. The toe injury was either a year before that or a year before that. We have no internet, so I can't look this up right now. But the 6 games that he missed was definitely due to the hamstring injury when his season ended early because he had that significant tear. But he did have a toe issue that where he was questionable every week, and I think he left a couple games early, and he ended up wearing a shoe that was fitted with a steel shank to protect his toe. So at some point, a toe issue has been a problem for him.
All right, so Big Ben Roethlisberger has a non-throwing hand fractured finger.
Yeah. Index finger
on
his left hand.
Stefania?
He definitely can. I think, and people wonder, well, what happens? How does it affect you? Taking snaps shouldn't be an issue, just the way you hold your hands if you're right hand dominant. The issue is ball security. You worry about it when the ball's shifting hands, if there's anything affecting his finger and that it's wrapped or taped or swollen. And particularly it's handoffs, right? And it's usually when they're handing off with their left. So if a quarterback's turning to his left, it's usually a run play to the right. You know, it'll be something like that. So just in the terms of ball security, you look for that, have to be careful, but it's not something that will keep him out of the lineup.
That's good news right there. It's a difficult matchup this week against the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe the more pertinent question for right now, Mike, if Stefania has assured us he's going to be okay to play, is how low does he fall in your rankings? Because it's a tough matchup.
16.
On the road. Yeah.
16. I got him late in a bunch of drafts. He's going to find his way to the bench this week. I'm going to be trying to find a streaming option. We've talked over and over again about his home road splits, and this time he's not only on the road but facing this Ravens defense that is very good and coming off a rough game in Carolina. I think they'll get back on track because sometimes you just want to lean toward, you know, personnel. It's the reason why I think Jacksonville's defense can get back on track, because they are just so overloaded with talent. Even after trading Dante Fowler yesterday, they're still they have their first round pick this year. Taven Bryan, the next man up. So I think Baltimore has that personnel as well to get back on track this week.
Yeah, 16 sounds about right for Ben Roethlisberger. Of course, Week 9 rankings are available on ESPN.com right now. Stefania, you are not the best in the business for nothing. Dalvin Cook basically said what you have been saying for, I don't know, months now, which is his hamstring is feeling great, but he's wary of a setback. Rest definitely helped me, but that's a tricky thing about these things. They feel good, but you go out there, you overextend, do something stupid, set you back. This is what you've been talking about now for a while, Stefania, is like you were concerned about this going into the season, and here you are months later, still feeling the same way.
I do feel badly about Dalvin Cook saying do something stupid, because I don't think this is totally on him. Mm-hmm. You know, I you guys know that my thing that I was most concerned about was overutilization too much too soon. And everybody was so excited about how he looked. And that's why I had him. I did not have him in the top 10. I had him, I think, preseason at 15 or 16 or so. And I was ready to move him out of that to say he might finish as a top 10. But I was worried about how quickly they went to him in week one with so much volume coming off the ACL. And so, this is a learning situation for everybody there. But and look, there's nothing, to be fair, there's nothing that could have magically prevented him from having another injury. But I do think he was sort of set up for that and just trying to do too much too soon. But hopefully after their bye week, he'll be back and this will finally be behind him, because the hard part for these things is when it gets in their head, player goes out and they're tentative. You know, you're probably going to see this with Fournette too. These guys who miss multiple weeks with a hamstring because they're afraid that every time they hit a certain gear, it's going to grab them again.
Here's my reminder to people is even after the bye week, if Dalvin Cook plays, like, just keep Latavius Murray on your roster through. Let it go all the way until the end of the season. Stefania, please tell us about Lexus.
Why, I'd love to, Phil.
Okay.
Because Pirates Jack. Aren't... Oh, that's right. Thank you, Jack. Your proper name, Jack. Because Pirates might not always be on a ship. Sometimes they need to travel by land.
It's true.
And in that case, the all-new Lexus ESF Sport is here. Lexus has taken everything they've ever mastered and put it in the ES. Daring design, imaginative technology, dynamic performance... Because crafting every detail to surpass expectations means nothing if it doesn't lead to the experience of something greater. Every curve, innovation, and feeling is a product of mastery. The epitome of unconventional craftsmanship, hand stitching on the dash, three-dimensional quilted seat designs, very comfy, even for Pirates. The ES features exquisite linear espresso and linear dark mocha wood trims, multi-layered works of art inspired by Lexus exclusive design that requires 67 manufacturing steps over 38 days. Years of research and exhaustive testing. One result is a robust 302 horsepower, 3.5-liter direct injection V6 engine, further amplifying its breathtaking performance. An all-new 8-speed automatic transmission delivers intuitive responsiveness and seamless acceleration. Plus, an integrated suite of class-leading standard active safety equipment. Lane tracing assist, pre-collision system with pedestrian and bicyclist detection, and lane departure alert with steering assist. Every curve, every innovation, every feeling, a product of mastery. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. And Field Elite Jack.
Thank you.
Elite Picks is brought to you by Lexus, and our elite pick this week.
I don't understand why Matthew struggles with that read so much. You read all those big words reading. Without any issues.
It has big words in it. Yeah, it does.
Way too many big words.
But
for
I got linear espresso and linear dark mocha. That perked me right up. The coffee. I was like, ooh, I could go for a linear espresso or a linear dark mocha right about now.
Drew Brees faces the Los Angeles Rams, and I said this, I think, a couple of weeks ago about a game, maybe this past week, but the Saints and the Vikings being one of the most anticipated games of the regular season. I said it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago about the Patriots and the Chiefs. I'm going to say it again. One of the most anticipated games, if not the most anticipated games of the regular season this week, Drew Brees and his Saints hosting Jared Goff and the Los Angeles Rams. I can make a compelling case for Drew Brees. Against this Rams defense, they've allowed three separate players, including Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, or not including, but Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, and Derek Carr, have all thrown for 300 plus yards against the Rams this season. Now, Breeze is coming off of a down fantasy game, but we know that was so much more about how the game played out with the Saints defense forcing short fields and running the football effectively. I've got him at 4. Stefania's not far behind at 6, but Mike, you've got him as a borderline starter. How can you make a case against Drew Brees?
Yeah, usually we're in like the same vicinity on all these guys, right?
Yeah.
We're kind of against each other here. And yeah, I think there's real reason for concern about Drew Brees' ceiling right now, just like last year, because we've seen a change in an offense over the past month after a pass heavy start to the season. And let's dive into that a little bit here. First of all, Drew Brees has finished top 10 in 43% of his games so far. That's 11th best at the quarterback position despite that hot start. He's finished 17th or worse at the position 3 of his past 4 outings. And again, the reason is, much like last season, partially with Mark Ingram back, is a return to a run-first offense. They're one of the run-heaviest offenses in the league, game script adjusted. They've actually called pass, even not adjusting for that, they've called pass less than 53% of the time each of their past 4 games. That's 4 games in a row. They've been not far off where Seattle's been, to be completely honest. And by the way, the Rams defense, you just talked about a couple quarterbacks who had good games. They've still only allowed one weekly finish better than 12th this season. So they've still delivered the goods from a fantasy perspective. So I definitely have some reservations about Breeze. Great player. May have to throw it a lot in this game if they fall behind. That'll make me look stupid, obviously. But their return to a run-heavy offense and his lack of a ceiling as of late, it's a real concern, I think. Just like last year. I mean, we saw this last year as well.
Interesting and compelling. I can be talked into or out of any ranking. But that's interesting there. You know, I just think with Drew Brees, it came down to the matchup. I feel like Marcus Peters is not right. And against everybody who watched the Rams can understand why he's not right now. The Rams also felt like they needed to boost their pass rush. Part of the reason why they traded for Dante Fowler, who I would presume will play on Sunday after being traded across the country from Jacksonville to Los Angeles. I guess I'm sort of betting on the infrastructure in place. That there are so many weapons. It feels like the reason why the Rams have not allowed more than one top 12 quarterback performance this year is yards have proven to be too hollow against them. A lot of yardage, but not enough red zone execution. I have no idea where the Rams rank in terms of red zone defense percentage, whether it's, you know, top third, bottom third, or somewhere in between. I'd imagine they're probably a pretty stout red zone defense because there have been a lot of games where they have been in shootouts and teams just haven't cashed in, or perhaps teams are running the football effectively enough against Los Angeles at or near the goal line. But this just feels like a shootout game for me, and I'm going to sort of go with the gut there on Drew Brees. Now, Russell Wilson, there are so many reasons why, and what did I say? I think it was yesterday or maybe even the day before that, like, is this, I think I said it to you yesterday, Mike, like, doesn't this feel like a regression week or frame for Russell Wilson? 9 touchdowns in his last 54 passing attempts. That's incredible. That is 1 every 6 passing attempts. I made the equation to, like, remember when Andrew Luck threw it 50 plus times in like 3 straight games? Imagine if he had thrown 9 touchdowns in one of those games. So a lot of signs point towards Russell Wilson regressing.
Mm-hmm.
I have him at 11. You guys both have him at 15. Mine was merely to offset the possibility of ranking him too low and having him go 3 touchdown passes on 22 attempts again this weekend. Like, that's about as good of the evidence I have right now.
Yeah, Wilson is an excellent example of that great play on the field, which he has had. He's been playing exceptional, carrying that team. I mean, they've hit on some...
Carrying.
No doubt carrying a team that's lacking talent at a lot of spots. It doesn't always mean fantasy success, and we saw that earlier in his career. We're seeing it again this season. In fact, you mentioned 3 passing touchdowns, 3 straight games. Let's go back to this past game as well. He had a perfect QBR in that game, right? QBR. He was still barely a top 10 fantasy quarterback.
That's crazy.
His best finish before this week, which I think he was 7th or 8th this past week, was 9th. Like, it doesn't matter that he's throwing touchdowns. The volume's not there as a passer, and the biggest concern for me going forward, aside of them being an extremely the run heaviest offense in the league, is the fact that he hasn't rushed for more than 21 yards in a game. That is a massive change for him and is crushing in all fantasy formats. By the way, the Chargers defense has allowed more than one passing touchdown in a game in week 4, and let me rephrase that. They last allowed more than one passing touchdown in a game in week 4, and they've allowed either 1 or 2 total touchdowns in 5 of 7 games this season. So even without Joey Bosa, they've kept teams in check. I think there's a lot of reasons to be severely concerned about Wilson, and I do not view him as a top 12 fantasy quarterback going forward.
Interesting. Very interesting. He has been a traditional strong finisher, but this is a different year for Russell Wilson. He did say yesterday it's going to have a 2012 vibe for him. Maybe it was Monday he said that, but that might be more on the field, right? Like the team runs the football well, plays sneaky good defense, and surprises people.
They haven't really had, it's interesting about the run game too, because we kind of tended not to believe Pete Carroll when he said that they really wanted to commit to the run, because they haven't. But if you look at their history of their run game the last couple of years, they haven't been able to keep consistent running backs on the field because of health. So this is the first year, I would say, in a while that we've had like a Chris Carson type who is there every single, and Chris Carson was one of the guys who was hurt before. But he's there and he's contributing and his volume is significant every week. And we just haven't seen that before.
Time for a quick break before we discuss RB ranks.
You in the 06010.
Come on, hair back.
All right, guys, now is the point in the show where we usually do our ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week, but because we don't have the internet, I'm going to play that off of my laptop through a microphone.
Wow, look at you. That's producing.
Hey, this is Tad, ZipRecruiter's Smartest Fan of the Week. My favorite member of the 06010 is Stefania Bell, because she's good enough, she's smart enough, and doggone it, people like her. Go Niners. Now, back to the show.
Of course, the one that's like the...
Oh, I'm sorry. His favorite member of the 06010 is Stefania Bell, because she's good enough, she's smart enough, and doggone it, people like her.
And I love the Stuart Smalley reference, like, slipped into that. That is so good, so awesome.
Sorry, Tad, that we're having internet issues the week that you are the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week, but I mean, listen, you know.
But
if
you
this
know
isn't
what?
A mediocre podcast,
that,
I don't know what
and
is.
And I appreciate it.
Mediocrity at its finest. Let's move on to the running back ranks. We begin with Chris Thompson. I've got him at 24. Mike's got him at 15. Stefania, you're closer to me, but my concern is this. This dude is broken right now. I mean, not quite all the way broken, but he is banged up.
Right, and I didn't see there was such low volume for him last week that you go, well, was it really a function of how they wanted to do things? I don't believe that. I believe that it's the fact that he's not 100%, you know, well enough to convince them that he should be on the field. So he has to be accounted for. Yes, but not healthy enough to be the Chris Thompson we saw at the start of the season. And until he gets there, I mean, he's one of those guys. They have a few of them, right? Adrian Peterson is another one. He's actually being really productive. I think with Chris Thompson, he's just trying to get out there and get better while he's on the field.
Mike, make the case for him at 15. You feel like the game script might suggest that this is a high-scoring game against Atlanta, and he could catch the ball and play a whole lot more than he normally has, or did, I should say, he normally would when Adrian Peterson is able to run the football 20 times?
Absolutely. They want to run the football. Having leads has helped them do that so far, 5-2. I think they were an underrated team coming into the season. I think they'll be closer to 500 the rest of the way. In this game against the Falcons, I think they'll be behind a little more, as you just touched on, which will mean more Chris Thompson. I mean, keep in mind, Adrian Peterson obviously is coming off a huge game. He played 38 snaps in that game. Thompson was at 26. He wasn't too far behind, and that was with game script really leaning toward Adrian Peterson. Thompson, even with missing time, playing injured to some extent, is averaging a career-high 19% target share when he's been on the field this season. And remember, he started the season extremely well. It was a top six fantasy running back in both weeks one and two. So I'm giving him somewhat of the benefit of the doubt. This is a guy that's been terrific when healthy this season and last season when he was a fringe RB1 when he was on the field. So I'm giving him another week. I'm going to see if the touches rebound with another week of him getting healthy. And again, against Atlanta, which could be a shootout, I think he'll be much more involved.
Yeah, I think it was only 5 touches last week. That was the sign to me that he was definitely not 100%. And his best value really comes as a pass catcher. I mean, that's where he excels. So
just to clarify, when you say 19% target share when he's on the field, do you mean in the games that he has played? Or
in the games he's played, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. That doesn't mean like of the snaps he's on the field, he gets a 19% target share. Just you exclude the games that he missed, which I think it was one or two. Got it. Moving along to Peyton Barber for the Buccaneers at Carolina. We've all got him right around flex territory, Mike. No Ronald Jones we don't expect this week, Stefania, because he has been banged up with a hamstring injury.
Right,
now.
He left last week's game with a hamstring injury and was pretty quickly ruled out. So while we can't predict it just yet, I would make my plans as if he weren't going to play.
All right, good news, or I should say good news to know some clarity before you actually have to make the decision on Sunday morning, Mike. This you have confidence in Peyton Barber, who's run the football pretty effectively over these past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm lowest here, and you're highest, so you're seems like you're biased in favor of the Buccaneers here.
Yeah, I guess so. I just love the Buccaneers.
See that?
Good call, Michael. That was a nice
sort of dad joke.
Nice
there.
Pun right
Slipped
there.
A little,
King of the dad,
dad
joke.
I'm trying.
King of the dad joke lives.
I'm trying.
Yes.
I can do it. Barber, again, I'm lowest. I'm at 32. I think he's more of a fringe flex option. Like him more in non-PPR, obviously, because he doesn't do much of his as a pass catcher. But, I mean, you look back at this past game, and again, we talked about this yesterday. No Ronald Jones, for the most part, just played a few snaps. Barber played 40. Jaquizz Rodgers played 31. They like him as a pass protector. He can catch the football. Probably will have more targets than Peyton Barber in this game, but he's getting the carries. 19-1 edge over Rodgers in that game. Yes, Barber has been RB17 the past three weeks the Bucs have played, but he only has four catches during that range, and early in the season, he was terrible. He's finished 44th or worse in five of seven games this season. So, especially in PPR, I have concerns there about his ceiling, and they love producing through the air. We talked about it before, yesterday. Most of the Buccaneers' touchdowns come through the air. They've just really relied on the passing game. So definitely some reservations here.
What a weird start to the season for Ronald Jones. I'm sorry. I know we're talking about Peyton Barber. But
or career, even.
Career, yeah. For Ronald Jones. We'll see what happens.
Well, and even,
game.
Like, just Tampa Bay as a whole. I mean, now we got Fitzpatrick back, and I think, like...
Second round is not their round in Tampa Bay, drafting-wise. Let's move on to the pass catchers.
Mike Evans might be the happiest of all. I mean, yes. Mike Evans is the one, I think, who stands to benefit the most from that.
Amari Cooper should make his Cowboys debut on Monday Night Football, which will be fun to see him against Tennessee Titans. We don't really disagree that much. 24, 26, and 31 are our respective ranks. But, you know, I think, Stefania, we should expect to see him play like two full weeks or, you know, week and a half to get ready. He should play a ton.
Right. I think the timing told you everything you needed to know. I think with that bye week in there, he's got time to get to adapt. He can't have been happy with how things were working for him in Oakland. Remember, I mean, basically, there was a week where Derek Carr was just not even looking at him.
Yeah.
And he's been so boom or bust in the Oakland offense. The only thing we didn't know, you know, he had a concussion. Obviously, Dallas did their due diligence before they would have traded for him. So we haven't seen him since that happened. But they got no other threat to him in Dallas. Yeah. So I've got to believe he's going to be the feature receiver for them.
Mike, we're starting him here at 31. What do you view of the ceiling for Amari Cooper as in Dallas? Because I feel like we are probably all triggered. Well, heck, when a player's been struggling, your mindset is to start low on a player's rank in his first opportunity there and just build your way upwards. Like, do we think there's top 12 potential for him, top 15, top 20?
Well, the concern there is that it's a super run-heavy offense. I mean, this offense is still, it's not Amari Cooper's offense now. It's still the Zeke Elliott offense. They've been run-heavy for 5 years running. I mean, they're going to continue to do that. So much like with Seattle, you worry about that a little bit in Dallas. My ranking baked in a little bit is maybe some conservatism in his first game. Maybe he does play a lesser role than he might normally, not every down snap. So you worry about that. I mean, keep in mind, he's been extremely boom bust. His two top 15 weeks this year in Oakland, but his best finish otherwise is 83rd.
Like
and again, I know that was in Oakland, but let's just look at this matchup specifically. The Dallas, again, their very run heavy offense is averaging 1.1 passing touchdowns per game. Even if you think that could go up going forward with Cooper there, consider the Tennessee defense here. They're allowing 1.3 passing touchdowns per game, which is extremely low, and 1.7 touchdowns per game overall. That is tied with the Cowboys for lowest in the NFL. So, yeah, they've struggled offensively, but the Tennessee defense,
they're like
defense
the number seven pass defense, right?
Yeah,
the Titans.
Yeah, so
that was one of my reasons for maybe not even going a little higher on Amari Cooper. But I don't think we know what Amari Cooper can be, because Oakland just, over the years that he's been there, has not been a consistent offense, period. And so I wonder if he's in a better structure with it, the whole environment is a better structure. And then, of course, if they have to pay attention to Amari Cooper, hopefully that opens things up for Zeke, who has been, you know, he's been okay, but he hasn't been as electric because everybody's focused on him. I'd like to see what the Dallas offense can do having him in there. Maybe it gets a little more exciting.
You know, you kind of have to make decisions on players, put up or shut up, keep them in your lineup or remove them from your lineup at this time of the year. Six teams are on a bye, and yet Doug Baldwin's highest rank is 24th.
Yeah.
He really has regressed production-wise. I'm not saying talent-wise, but his production has gone down recently. I think people are going to say, I get it, there's six teams on a bye, but I don't feel good about putting Doug Baldwin into my lineup.
Should they, Mike? Have we reached wait and see Mo and Doug Baldwin?
I think he's down. I remember he was like a fringe wide receiver one, right, in drafts. Now more of a fringe wide receiver three. And yeah. And the issue is you look at his four full games so far, he's averaging a 22% target share, which isn't too bad. That's enough to give you, you know, top 36 numbers at the position. But the offense has gone from one of the pass heaviest in the league last year to one of the run heaviest. And his target share last year, 22%. So that number needs to go up if they're going to run the ball more in order for him to get his volume. So again, the Seahawks have called, you know, they're 50-50 in terms of passes versus runs this year. That's 4%. That's a 4% difference than the next closest team, the Rams. So the volume is a major concern going forward. I think he maybe could score a few touchdowns. Tyler Lockett's not going to score 6 touchdowns in a 7-game pace going forward. So there's something to be said for that. He's still a very good player. I think he can get you starting caliber numbers, but there's reason to be worried if you took him in the second or third round this year.
I think the decision you could make on someone with Doug, like Doug Baldwin, is this. You have Doug Baldwin. You've got him higher ranked than someone like Tyrell Williams. And a lot of the numbers suggest that Doug Baldwin's the safer play. He should be in your lineup, right? Like probably still seeing a larger target share. They're playing in the same game this weekend, incidentally, which is just sort of funny. But Tyrell Williams is super boomer bust, hasn't had a ton of games with more than 4 targets. And yet I don't think any of us would be surprised if Tyrell Williams had more fantasy points this week than Doug Baldwin. So it might be that mindset-wise, you bet on a player who has larger odds of bust versus the player that has larger odds of being sort of steady Eddie, which would be Doug Baldwin. I just think you're going to have a lot of people that are weighing risk versus reward of ceiling this week with Baldwin. So there are not a ton of options like Tyrell Williams, but there are some out there that might just be the guys that go for 2 touchdowns. Like maybe you feel like you'd rather roll the dice on Geronimo Allison, even though he had some discouraging signs this past week for the Green Bay Packers, as opposed to somebody like Doug Baldwin. We know that people make decisions emotionally. That's just how fantasy football is. The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter, and challenging a young, attractive co-host with 2 working lungs to a 1-on-1 game of basketball, that is not smart. But you know what else isn't smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. That is smart. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and then actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. Like kick returners breaking for daylight fast. Like Devin McCourty returning interceptions fast. No wonder ZipRecruiter is rated number 1 by employers in the U.S. That's based on hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Fill your business roster with the right talent today. Visit ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's right now, for free. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
All right, guys, it is now the time of the show where we're going to go through the ZipRecruiter smartest fan of the week. We're going to start here with James. The question is...
These are the entries.
These are the entries. 9. Yes,
or,
correct.
Or
for week
10.
Yeah.
To yes, be read in week 10.
9. Yep.
Got it.
You can go trick-or-treating with the entire 0610 crew, but you have to leave one member at home to hand out candy. Who gets left at home and why?
I remember Matthew making a case for this about why I would be left at home because I would be the only one who would be trusted.
Well, why don't we see where things landed, Stefania?
Yes, why don't we?
James says, Field stays home. Not only would I avoid being upstaged by his cologne model looks and Instagram-worthy couples so costume good. With Chapin, but I could rest easy knowing he'd refrain from eating all the candy. I'm looking at you, TMR, in order to preserve his Ezekiel Elliott abs.
So, fun fact, before the show, we all having a little bit of candy corn. I am obsessed with Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Me too.
Oh my God, look.
They're the best Halloween candy. It's not close.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
But I'm not a big...
Candy corn, things that I'm not normally eating as part of my diet, but today I have an excuse.
Yeah, I'm not a huge candy guy. I don't need to... I eat sweets, but I'm not a huge, like a handfuls of candy person. But... I was going to get us into a conversation about great Halloween candy. I know that's not the conversation right now, though, Daniel, but we can have another.
There's really no conversation because it's Reese's.
Yeah, I'll throw my 2 cents in on that. I have a rare favorite candy.
Okay.
Is now the time for that?
Yeah. Give it to me.
Are we doing this?
Sure.
Yeah, it's going to be wrong, but go ahead.
Trolley sour gummy worms. They are my favorite.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
I convinced my four-year-old that they're cooked snakes. So she calls, can I have cooked snakes?
That's incredible.
Super cute. She is fully, if she ever sees them at school or anywhere, she'll say, can I have cooked snakes? And they're going to be like, what are you talking about?
That's super good.
Love it.
All right, you can have all of those and just give me all the Reese's that you collect in your bag.
I like them too.
All right, next one comes from Liz. Liz says, easy. Matthew Berry, he's already too hyper and far and away in the worst shape out of everyone on the show. He does not need any more candy. Plus, I think Field is too old to go trick-or-treating with his dad now.
Yeah, I don't want to be trick-or-treating with Matthew right now.
Yeah.
Not happening.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Dad, not going to happen.
This one comes from Steven.
I'm having a Reese's.
I'm leaving TMR at home. Let's be candid here. It has nothing to do with him being too old to trick-or-treat or the constant whining and complaining we'd have to endure. It's not even about his stupid Ted Ginn costume that he's worn for 3 straight years in a row. It's because the faster we move, the more candy we get. And with Matthew, we'd spend a minimum of 10 minutes at every single door as he talks their ear off while prefacing with each topic really quickly. Or one last quick thing. Don't worry, TMR, when the rest of us return, each dressed as a different member of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we'll all give you the off-brand candy because, you know, you're old and old people love off-brand candy. That one comes from Stephen Boyd.
Pretty good right there, Stephen Boyd. I'm not going to lie to you.
This one comes from...
captured a lot of Matthew Berry in that one.
This one's from Matthew DiCaprio. It would be Matthew and it's not even close. I mean, doesn't he just strike you as the kid that whined and complained through the entire experience? I just see him tripping over a curb, falling forward for more yards than Alfred Morris in week 6, and then proceeding to cry and complain and rant until we all get so sick of hearing him about how the night was ruined.
I like that one. Who was that by?
That was from Matthew DiCaprio.
Matthew DiCaprio? Leo's cousin?
Right.
It might be. This one comes from Kevin. Again, the question, you can go trick-or-treating with the entire 0610 crew, but you have to leave one member at home. I would leave anyone other than Field at home because I wouldn't want some trick-or-treater's mom to call Child Protective Services for leaving a child at home alone to hand out candy.
Okay. This one's my favorite so far.
That one is my favorite so far. That one was from Kevin. This one comes from Calvin. We got two more. I think I would leave Matthew Berry at home if I were able to go trick-or-treating with the entire crew. I would leave Berry at home just because he would probably complain the most, saying that we got crappy candy from every house that we went to. And he would also be able to watch his kids from home whilst handing out candy. Matthew would also tell us unrelated stories whilst trick-or-treating. He said whilst quite a bit.
Yes, wow.
So I'd have to hear about how his family cut down a Christmas tree again or how he went picking for strawberries one time. And I just am not interested in doing that.
Okay.
That one was from Calvin. This last one comes from Derek.
Matthew's getting left home a lot.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
I was gonna say, I'm glad he's not here, man.
Yeah.
This one's from Derek. I would choose Field Yates not because he's afraid of the dark and not because he would find a way to get us lost like he did from Farmington to Bristol.
Nice reference.
And not only because he could pass as a tall 12-year-old. No, I would choose Field because I honestly don't trust any other member of the 0610 crew to hand out candy to children without scaring them. Matthew's a rant waiting to happen. Stefania would scare them away while talking about ACL injuries. And Secret Squirrel, I mean, have you seen that beard? I mean, Field is just the most trusted member of the 06010.
That's a fact that we can't argue with.
So for me, I really like the one where you don't want Child Protective Services.
Yes, that's my favorite. That's the winner, I think.
Can you just reread the abridged version of it?
That was a short one. That basically was the short version
of it. Yeah, it was a short one.
You don't want a trick-or-treater's mom to be able to call Child Protective Services
because we left the kid home alone. That's my favorite. Winner.
That's pretty good. That or Matthew. They were pretty good.
Okay. Matthew
is the one. Yeah.
But Matthew was
winner.
Left home
the
alone
DiCaprio
by like
one?
Five people. Oh, Matthew DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Matthew
is in the person.
We know Leo listens. We know Leo listens.
Yeah,
he's right.
Leo obviously does. Yeah, I'd go with the guy that wants to, you know, keep Child Services away.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my favorite.
All right. So that's going to be Kevin Solomita. I probably said that last name wrong, and I really am sorry for that.
Kevin Solomita. Well, congratulations, Kevin. You are now the ZipRecruiter Week 10
Fan of the Week.
And you've got a lot of competition because we have seen some excellent live reads. So we encourage all of those that are our future ZipRecruiter Fan of the Week winners to continue to read them with the same exuberance and dedication that we have heard through the past couple of weeks. This is a lot of fun today. I want to keep my costume on. What do you have else?
Last one, next week's question.
Okay.
That we have to make sure you can go to ZipRecruiter.com/fan right now. Next week, next week's question is, if you could sing a karaoke duet with one member of the 06010, who are you choosing to sing with and what song are you going to perform?
I'm excited to see this.
I am loving the question, by the way. Yeah. Who's responsible for writing them?
This guy.
Really?
Secret Squirrel. Actually, I love this one, except for you can't vote for Matthew because you're already locked into these songs that he requires.
He's got like four songs,
karaoke.
And that's it. They're like Jungle Safari or something. What was that one that he loved?
Mexican Radio.
Mexican Radio. And then other than that is Bon Jovi, like Blaze of Glory and Dead or Alive.
Steel Horse I Ride, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to know who's singing Fly Eagles Fly with me? We need some Eagles fans. Need some Eagles fans.
Say Mike is going to be on the show each Wednesday, so keep him in mind if you are thinking about submitting for ZipRecruiter Fan of the Week.
Let's not forget, I wrote and performed a rap. One time. So, just saying.
I have no reason to be voted for, other than I want your votes. It would be fun. It would be an honor. We are back on Thursday to, of course, preview the barn burner that will be the Bay Area Showdown. The Raiders.
That's right. You won't want to miss it.
Raiders. You knew I'm picking in that game. Stop. The pirate that I am. And the 49ers. A great job by Field producing the show today. I thought it was your best show perhaps ever.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate that.
Thank you for that. She is Stefania B87 on Instagram. She posted a photo of herself and I in our costumes this morning. She is Stefania _ESPN
also
on
known
Twitter.
As Ray from Star Wars today.
Ray from Star Wars as well. He is Chewbacca. Chewie. Oh, that was a bad one.
That was bad.
You're still in pirate.
I can't do it. I can't change it back from one to the other.
Wait, and I want to go back before you introduce him. Just a shout out to my adorable niece, Olivia, who is also Ray from Star Wars today.
We are matching
auntie to niece.
He is Mike Clay NFL on Twitter and Instagram, and he's Chewbacca in real life. I am Jack Sparrow. Shout out to the makeup crew, Nora and Trisha and Ashley, getting us ready for today's show. Field the Ace on Twitter and Instagram. Talk to you guys on Thursday. Deuces.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at #improv. At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Media.